Let's find the book of Jude. You know where that is? Next to last book in your Bible. It's only one chapter long, right before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude. Did you know that Jude, the author of the book, is one of the apostles? Did you know that? And it's kind of interesting. You got the book of Hebrews. And then what comes after Hebrews? James. And then 1st and 2nd Peter. So James, Peter. And then what's after that? John. Peter, James, John. Weren't they apostles? And then you got Jude right before the last book in your Bible. So God used these men to pen some scriptures here for us. And I'll tell you, before we read here, we're going to read a couple verses in the middle of Jude. But this book of Jude describes the apostasy of the last days. Are we there yet? Yeah. And gives you insight into the evil influences that comes about due to the work of, we had the verses in Ephesians, spiritual wickedness. And where are those? Where's that spiritual wickedness? Okay, high places. I've noticed this. I've worked at a few different places in the years I've been working. And what I've noticed is that the people, now this is not uniform all across the board, but is often the case. The people at the bottom, usually pretty hardworking, honest people. And then as you go a little higher in the organization, what seems to happen? The corruption seems to set in. Now, it's not everywhere. And I hate to say this, it's even in some cases. I don't think it's here, but it can be in local churches. The higher you go, you got people really seeking the truth, and you got corruption the higher you climb. And I don't think that's here. Thank the Lord. I think I probably wouldn't have very many people here if that was the case. But it does exist, and we got to be aware of it, because the devil works on the leaders in all kinds of different institutions and places, because the leadership is going to influence everybody below. Anybody else notice that? You worked in places where you're down at the bottom, and it seems like a great place to work. And then you get a little higher, and you're like, this ain't so great. I'm seeing things how they really are. And you say, I wish I was down there at the bottom again. That way you don't see all the nonsense. So seems to be the way it is oftentimes. Let's go in Jude to verse 10. Jude verse 10. I'm going to pick it up in the middle here. And if you look, I'll tell you, before we read, let me just point out some things. In verse 7, there's a couple of places mentioned that you should know about. You see them? Proper noun, proper names. Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Judgment of God. Burned to the ground. Yeah. Fire and brimstone. You also notice there in verse 7, it mentions fornication. It mentions going after strange flesh. And then you go down there to verse 8, talks about filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. See that work in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places at verse 8? And then verse 9, look who shows up in verse 9. Yet Michael, and who's Michael? It tells you there. The archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Did you know the only person that can rebuke the devil is the Lord? That Michael the archangel, he's got a lot more power than me and you. Yet he had to say, the Lord rebuke thee to the devil. I say that because we don't need to, if you're saved, you don't need to be afraid of the devil, but you do need to respect the fact that he has some power. And the only way you can defeat him is to have your armor on, take that sword of the Spirit, and call on the Lord consistently. So then you get down there to verse 10, and let's read verse 10 and 11. It says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, look at this, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Can you see our world today, man acting like a brute beast? Now think about it. If a man believes that he came from an animal, he's bound to act like one. Isn't that something? It really does matter what you believe. It really matters what you believe about how we got here. Sure does. All right, look at verse 11. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, I was going to preach a message with all three of those fellas, Cain, Balaam, and Kor. And if you're wondering who Kor is, You know who Balaam is in the Old Testament? Old Testament false prophet over there in the book of Numbers. You should know who Cain is. We're going to talk about Cain tonight. Kor, spelled C-O-R-E in your Old Testament, it's K-O-R-A-H, Korah. You remember him? He was a rebel against Moses. In fact, I noticed something about all three of these fellows. Cain, was he a rebel? He's a rebel, yes. Balaam, a rebel. Kor, a rebel. Got a bunch of rebels in here, don't we? Got a lot of rebels in our world. Folks, when you depart from submitting yourself to Almighty God, you become a rebel. You know, you can be saved and be a rebel. Hope that's not anybody here, but it's possible. Daily walk with the Lord to keep from being a rebel. All right. So we're going to talk about just one of those tonight. Maybe we'll tackle the other two some other time, but we're going to talk about Cain. So tonight's message is the way of Cain. All right, let's pray together. Lord, we sure want to thank you again for just being able to read your word that is perfect right before us. Lord, we acknowledge that we need these words. These are words that will nourish every one of us and help us as we go through this week to be wise and to be ready for whatever may come our way. I pray that you would teach us tonight as we study Cain and some things about him that we can certainly learn a great deal about and see our world as we study Cain. We see so many influences from Cain right in our world today. And I pray you point those out to us. May we be aware of them. May we avoid them. And may we be sober and vigilant in these last days and just ready to engage in spiritual warfare and ready to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. All right, so you probably know where we're going to go here. Where is Cain mentioned for the first time? Anybody? Genesis chapter 4. Yes, Genesis chapter 4. So we're going to talk about the way of Cain. So Genesis chapter 4, the first point tonight, let's get a little history of Cain. So number one is the history of Cain. And let's start off here in verse 1. Now you remember Genesis 3. You've got to get Genesis 3, right? Or else the rest of your Bible is going to be messed up. Genesis 3 is where man falls. And man falls because the serpent comes along and tricks the woman. He didn't deceive the man, but he deceived the woman. And how did he go about that? He used the same tactic today that he used in Genesis 3. You need to know about this. He went about messing with the words of God. And he's still doing the same thing today. You got a copy of the words of God? Can you trust those words? The devil would have you think that you got to go back to the original manuscripts. And you really can't know what the Bible says. You must trust the scholars. I'm here to tell you that if you have the Holy Spirit of God and you have a perfect copy of God's Word, you got all you need. Isn't that all you need? Don't let the devil trick you into thinking you got to have a liability on the scholars. The scholars will lead you into a ditch because they're blind. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, when the blind lead the blind, where do they end up? You don't want to end up in a ditch, do you? You want to stay on the road. All right, verse 1 of chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And who did she bear? So Cain is the first son. Ever think about this? He's actually the first son that's ever born. He's the first baby ever born on planet Earth. And look what Eve says right after he's born. And you can imagine the joy of this new life. And in fact, this is the first time this has ever happened. Something very unusual for Adam and Eve, but something very joyous. Look what she says. Instead, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, you know a little bit about Cain. You know that he was not a man from the Lord. Why would Eve say such a thing? I know I read this for a long time, and I thought, what was Eve thinking when she said that? You know what Eve was thinking when she said that? Go back to Genesis 3:15. Look at this. I've criticized Eve for a long time, and then I realized I don't need to criticize her. She's actually doing something really neat when she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Look at 3:15. This is after sin entered the world, and the Lord says, I will put enmity between thee, he's talking to the serpent, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And what the Lord is telling the serpent there is that one day you're going to suffer a massive head wound. You know, those head wounds can be deadly wounds, can't they? So Eve knew that one day would come where that serpent's head would be bruised. And I really think that when she says over there in 4:1, I've gotten a man from the Lord, I think Eve thought, here he is. This son of mine is going to be the one to bruise the head of the serpent. You ever think of that? Give some credit to Eve for looking for the answer to the promise that God made. She was looking for him. I know it went a long time, and I think, Eve should have been saying that, but I think she was looking for the one that would defeat the head of the serpent. All through the Old Testament, they're looking for the one that would bruise the head of the serpent, weren't they? And who is that, by the way? Who is that? Come on. The Lord Jesus Christ bruising the head of the serpent. Yeah. All right. So go back there to chapter 4, verse 2. And look at what happens here. It says that she again bare his brother. And what's the brother of Cain? Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, a lot of folks think that they're twins. We don't know that for certain. The reason why they say that they're twins, Cain and Abel, is because it does not say that she conceived again. And oftentimes in your Bible, it will mention another conception before a birth. It doesn't say that there. So that would be a possibility that Cain and Abel are twins. Nevertheless, they're brothers. We know that. And we know that Cain's the firstborn. Okay, so let's read about Cain. We'll get a little history of who he is. Well, we read verse 2 there. What do you find out about Cain in verse 2? He was a tiller of what? So the first ever farmer is Cain. A little history on Cain. He's the first farmer. Now, a farmer tills the ground, like it says. And at this point in history, where we are in Genesis 4, what's wrong with the ground, everybody? In chapter 3, it got cursed. So even though man must eat and crops can be grown, Brother Paul can tell you a little bit about that, a whole lot about that, they come out of the ground and you eat them and they nourish you, but still, what happens? What happens to you? That ground is cursed and you're going to die eventually, regardless of how nourished you are. So again, it's kind of a catch-22. We need that food from that comes from the ground, but at the same time, that ground is cursed. All right, go on to verse 3. Let's see what happens here. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, here's a hard-working farmer. I grew up in Panhandle, Texas, with a farming community, and those guys work hard, right? Pug Paul, you can attest to that. Farming is hard work. Do you think that Cain worked very hard and diligently to bring the offering he brought to the Lord there in verse 3. What do you think? I think he really did. He brought of the fruit of the ground the very thing that he worked so hard all day, every day doing. Tilling that ground. Well, let's look at Abel, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. It says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Okay, so Cain brings from the fruit of the ground. Abel brings from the firstlings of the flock. Now, let me ask you a question before we read what happens here. Are those offerings the same? Those are completely different offerings given to God. One's from the ground, one's from an animal. One is an animal, I should say, right? Look at the rest of verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto who? Abel and to his offering. Now, let me ask you a couple questions here. Was the Lord playing favorites when he said, I'll take Abel's but reject Cain's? The Lord was not playing favorites. If you look what Abel brought, he brought of the firstlings of the flock. The Lord accepted that. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. The Lord rejected that. Now, somebody tell me, why did the Lord accept the firstlings of the flock but reject the fruit of the ground? Anybody? How did Abel know to bring of the firstlings of the flock? Back up a few verses. Go back to chapter 3 again. Let's look at this. Very important. You get these things just right in your Bible. Genesis 3:21. This is after the judgment of sin has been pronounced upon the serpent, upon Adam and Eve. And that's how God cursed the ground and all that. Look at 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, who made the first proper clothing in this world? Who made it, folks? The Lord. How did he get the clothing for, do you remember Adam and Eve after they sinned? And it wasn't until after they sinned they realized they were naked. They needed something to wear. They tried the fig leaves. That didn't work. God gives them coats of skins. How did the Lord go about getting those coats of skins for Adam and Eve? The Lord himself had to have killed an animal. That animal, if you've done any hunting and you've done any skinning of an animal, you know that if you're going to get skin off an animal, it's going to be a lot of bloodshed. So the first bloodshed on planet Earth, the Lord took an animal, sacrificed that animal, gave clothing to Adam and Eve, showing them, if you're going to be covered up, there must be bloodshed. And folks, that animal that was killed there, probably a lamb, don't you think? That animal, what did that animal do to deserve to die? Not a thing. You see, the Lord sets a precedent in Genesis 3. Sin costs something. And the wages of sin is what? Somebody was going to have to die. And the Lord said, I'm going to kill this animal rather than Adam and Eve, and I'm going to give Adam and Eve clothing, but the precedent is set. There's death and bloodshed of an innocent substitute so that the guilty can be covered up. Does that sound familiar? Death and bloodshed of an innocent substitute so that the guilty can be covered up. You covered? I'm better than that. You're better than covered. You're living on this side of the cross. You know what you are? Your sin is cleansed. If you're saved, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Did He wash away your sins? That's the death of an innocent substitute. He shed His blood so that sinners like every one of us in here can have our sins washed away. Hallelujah, amen. Right? See, God sets that up in Genesis 3. If you miss it in Genesis 3, you're going to be so confused when you get to Leviticus. You're going to say, why are these animals dying? Why is this blood being shed? That is the price of sin. Let's make sure we get that straight. It costs something. Sin always costs something, doesn't it? To be forgiven, the Lord Jesus Christ died in your place and shed His blood so you could be forgiven. Amen to that. It's great news. The world needs that news. Now go back there to Genesis 4. And let's look what happens here after Abel's accepted and Cain is rejected. 4:5. Let's go to 4:5. A little more history. 4:5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And look what Cain does here. It says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And what you have here in Genesis chapter 4 is you have man. Man always tries a different way to get to God than the way God says a person must approach God. Doesn't man always do that? There's God's way and there's man's way. God's way is the right way. Man's way is always, always, always the wrong way. Watch that. So one is always right. That's God's way. One is always wrong. That's man's way. The Lord's way is there had to be an animal brought and the blood of that animal had to be shed. That animal had to be killed and God would accept that offering. So you know what you got right here in Genesis 4? You have the first ever man who attempts to approach God based on his works. Isn't that something? You see that all through your Bible? Do you see that all around our world today? You can go to certain churches, one particular church you're all familiar with. You must have, you must follow the seven sacraments in order to be right with God, and that's works. That's 100% works. And then, even if you follow the seven sacraments, you take the seven sacraments, you better hope that you die in a state of grace, or else you won't go to heaven. And you still never know if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to purgatory, which doesn't exist. But that is false doctrine, and that is salvation by works, which leads a person 100% of the time to hell. You see how this whole thing gets started here in Genesis 4. A man trying to approach God by his good works, and they are rejected every time. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, right? Look there at verse 6. Then verse 5. Look at this thing. You want to study, anybody here want to study psychology, you need to study Genesis chapter 4. This will give you an insight into the psychological aspect of Cain and rejection. Who's been rejected here? You all been rejected, right? What happens to Cain when he gets rejected? What's he do there, folks? What do you see there? He's wroth. He's mad. Notice what else happens here. His countenance fell. You know what that is right there? When I read that, I get a little convicted right there. His countenance fell. You know what Cain was reveling in? Self-pity. Poor old me. The Lord won't take my wonderful offering. He's mad and he's wallowing in self-pity. Now, none of you would ever do that. I tell you, that hits me between the eyes sometimes. You get mad because things didn't turn out the way you wanted to and you wallow in self-pity. That is wicked, folks. You've got to watch out for that. Difference between self-pity and humility. Big difference. A lot of times we wallow in self-pity because we actually are guilty. Oftentimes that is the case. Not always, but oftentimes. And we want everybody to feel sorry for us when we really need to get right with God. That's oftentimes the case. A little journey into the psychological workings of old Cain right here. Look what else happens. Look at verse 6. I love verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You know what the Lord does there in verse 6 and 7? gives them another chance. I see there in verse 7 particularly, there's the mercy of God. You didn't bring the right offering. I'm not taking anything but a blood sacrifice, the Lord says. He gives Cain another shot right there. I sure need another shot. How about you? I need another chance. The Lord's been very merciful to me. I love that verse 7 there. He gives them another opportunity. But let's see what happens here. The Lord says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain gets another opportunity here. Let's see what happens. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother. And what happened, folks? There in that verse, it's the first ever murder. So the first man born in this world is Cain, and he becomes the first murderer. Did you notice the progression here? The progression. Rejection, self-pity, getting mad, and it leads to what? Murder. You ever follow that little path right there? It's a very interesting little path. Rejection, self-pity, anger, murder. Very interesting. I'll come back to that in a moment. Now, we're not done with Cain. Look what happens next. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And look at this sassy attitude from Cain here. Look at this. And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? You see the sassiness right there? Boy, who's he talking to, by the way? Who's he sassy with? The Lord God Almighty. Isn't that something? Man, all right, verse 10. And he said, now it's the Lord talking here, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now you notice there in verse 12, the Lord judges the ground for Cain's sake. He's actually judging Cain here. But he says, hey, you're a tiller of the ground. Now, the ground is not going to yield to you when you go to till it. This is the consequence, right? Look at the reaction. Wouldn't you think by now, Cain maybe would say, I was wrong? Look at this belligerent attitude here. Look at verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And I deal with high school kids during the week, mostly high school kids, and I have already heard this year, Mr. Rockwell, what you're giving me as a consequence is not, it's not fair. Can you see that in that tone there? What Cain says there in verse 13? My punishment is greater than I can bear. You seeing this guy? He's sassy with the Lord. He's saying it's unfair. He's accusing the Lord of being unjust and unfair. He's a murderer. Gets angry and wallows in self-pity. Are you seeing a journey into the psychological world with this guy right here? How did it all start, folks? He didn't bring the sacrifice that God would accept. And there was only one. It had to be a blood sacrifice. And notice that rejection from God leads him down this dangerous, dangerous path. And I warn anybody here, you make sure you do things God's way or else you'll find yourself on this path as well, getting mad, getting sassy, murder. Wow. Claiming it's not fair. Everybody's against me. The whole world's against me. This is just not fair. I know nobody would do that here. We got to be careful that we don't fall in that path. I'll tell you. This is why, and you heard this before from Pastor and lots of folks in this pulpit, the most important thing in your life after you get saved is your daily walk with God. If you don't walk with God daily, you're in danger of going down this path. You'll start letting the world influence you down this path. Anger, selfishness, sassiness, hatred, murder, and claims of unfairness. And this world is, have you heard these things in our world today? That's about every one of those things I mentioned. You've seen this in the last 6 months in America. It all began with the offering. Now think about this. It all began with Cain offering a bloodless sacrifice. And I claim that's the way of Cain right there. The way of Cain is a bloodless religion of works. And you will never please God if you're trying to work your way to God. Never. You will always be rejected. You will always end up short. And it'll lead you down this path. So let's go on here. Going down there to verse 16. Actually, where we leave off here, verse 14. Behold, this is Cain talking. Thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. So notice the excuses there. Notice the claims of unfairness. And look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And notice something about Cain here. And the Lord said, what? The first man to ever have a mark in your Bible is who? Is Cain. It says the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. The first marked man in your Bible is old Cain here. So there's a little bit about the history of Cain. And let's stay in this chapter right here. And let's get to point number two, and let's talk about the family of Cain here. Number two, the family of Cain. If you look here at verse 16, it says, this is really sad to me. The first part of verse 16 is so sad. And Cain went out from the presence of who? Isn't that something? He willingly chose, I'm getting out of here. What a sad thing this is right here, this fellow Cain. He leaves the presence of the Lord, and look what happens. It says he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Look at verse 17. Here's Cain's family. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare, what's the guy's name? Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Very interesting there. Cain's family. The first son born to Cain is Enoch. And then what does he do? He builds a city. First builder is Cain. And what's he name the city, everybody? Enoch. I think that's really interesting. Go over to chapter 5 of Genesis. The first Enoch was born from Cain. Did you know there's another Enoch? Look over here. Take a look at this. Chapter 5 of Genesis. Look at verse 4. This is Adam's seed through Seth. I'll just show you that. 5:4, in the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And go down there to verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. So this is the line of Adam going through Seth. So it goes Adam and then through Seth. So if you go on here, you finally get down in verse 18 to this fella who's from Seth named Enoch. Look at verse 18. And Jared lived and 162 years and he begat who? Now is that the same Enoch from chapter 4? It's not the same Enoch. I tell you, you want to study something really interesting. Look at the names of Cain's children and the names here of the line of Seth, and you'll find some similarities, which is a good reminder to me and you. Here there are two Enochs, but one is better than the other. You see what happens to this Enoch here in verse 18. Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For what happened? God took him. Different Enoch that was born to Cain. And you know what we have set up here? We got two Enochs. We've got a righteous Enoch, and we've got a what turns out to be a wicked Enoch from the line of Cain. You seeing this? See this great contrast here. Very interesting. Look at those names in chapter 5 and compare them to some of Cain's children there in chapter 4. Let's go back to chapter 4 here. Let's look some more about Cain's family. Cain's family. Go down there to verse 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. In fact, over in chapter 5, there's a fellow named Methuselah. Very close to what's here. Now, I'll just say something here. Good little application for all of us. Something close to the truth. That's not the truth. You better just get away from it completely. It's either the truth or nothing else, right? So, watch what happens here. Look at verse 19. And Lamech took unto him, what did he take? You know what you have in the line of Cain? You got the first ever polygamist. You're going to see as we go down through here, a lot of debauchery and foolishness and wickedness from the line, from the family of Cain. Let's go on here. Again, keep in mind here, we're just kind of chasing the way of Cain. And you'll see where this leads. It's a dangerous road. Look at we mentioned verse 19. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. Verse 20 there. Yeah, verse 20. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. You know what you got there in verse 20? You got your first cowboy. don't you? And you got the first men dwelling in tents, which is common throughout your Old Testament. All right, go on here. Look at verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. Well, watch this one. He was the father of all such as handle the harp, stringed instrument, and the organ. Piped instrument. Yeah, you got the pipes and you got the strings there. So notice there, where's the first music in your Bible originate? From the family of who? Family of Cain. You got to watch out for that music, don't you? A fellow here this morning that was visiting was talking about music, and he said something really interesting. He said, the congregational hymns are easy to follow along with. And he's so right. You get into a lot of the, what they call modern worship, you don't know when to say the word that's on the screen. And usually, if you've been to any of these churches where they have this, most of the time, the only people or persons singing are the ones on the stage that know when to come in. And everybody else is just kind of standing there swaying back and forth. A lot like a concert, huh? Very interesting. I don't say a lot about that, but we'll just go on here. Look at verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Isn't that interesting right there? You know what I see with Cain's family? I see an advanced civilization. You see that? The first ever workers in brass and iron come from Cain. And, you know, they would have us think, the history books would have us think that back in this time period, man is very primitive. Dwelling in caves, and he can't speak, and he grunts, and doesn't know much. Folks, you have what here in verse chapter 4 of Genesis? You have an advanced civilization taking place here. And who's it start with? Isn't it interesting? It starts with Cain here. The advancements of Cain's family. You got music, you got the arts, you've got manufacturing, you got ranching, all in the line of Cain. And I'll tell you this, just kind of application here. Is the world really a better place because of all these things? All these advancements, scientifically, is the world really a better place? No way, Jose, they're not. You know why the world's not a better place with all those advancements? It's not including who? The Lord God Almighty. You leave God out, doesn't matter how advanced you think you are. You're actually not advanced. You're missing something. You're missing the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding you get from the Word of God, which is what you need to be advanced, right? Want to be advanced? Keep in the book. So I think we can learn from this, the whole thing about the way of Cain to this point, looking at his history and looking at his family. Anything done, doesn't matter how great it sounds, anything done without God is not a good thing. So let's take our current situation in the world right now, the current crisis in our world that we have going on, this coronavirus, right? All these advancements with vaccines and medication, and you keep hearing the word over and over. I get sick of hearing it. Listen to the science. Listen to the science. All these advancements. How are we doing? How are we doing, folks? Not very good. And you know why we're not doing all that good? God is left completely out of the entire equation. Wouldn't it just blow your mind to hear old Anderson Cooper or one of these guys, what's the fellow's name that did the debate, the first one? Wallace, Chris Wallace. Hear him come on the air and say, folks, we're no longer going to consult science for the answer. We're going to consult God's Word for the answer. Wouldn't that shake things up? That would turn things in the right direction, wouldn't it? Amen. But see, all this advancements that we have in the world are doing nothing but leading people further and further away from the Lord. Nothing wrong with a little technology if you use it right, but when it takes the place of God, like it's happening today, it's no good. All right? So there's the history and the family of Cain. Let's go to the New Testament here. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Just a couple more places here. Last point here, and I think this will really be the focal point of understand. We need that other stuff to understand this one, but this is where you really understand the dangers in Cain's family and the history of what happened there right after the Garden of Eden event there in Genesis 4, 3 and 4. Go over to Hebrews 11. Here is the third point, and this would be the heresy of Cain. Take a look here. The heresy of Cain. Look at verse 4 of Hebrews 11. You'll see Cain show up here. This is the faith chapter. Look at verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than who? Than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So you have Cain mentioned there as a sacrifice being offered, but his was not as good as Abel's. And you also have Abel being mentioned there as righteous. You see that? He's considered righteous before God. What would that make Cain if Abel's considered righteous, folks? And you'll see this over in 1 John here in a minute. That would make Cain wicked. When a man does things his own way, rather than God's way, it's worthless every time and will land him in the lake of fire. Doesn't matter how good it sounds. It'll land him there every time. Now go over to 1 John chapter 3. Just a couple more places here. 1 John chapter 3. Get a little bit more about Cain, the way of Cain. Watch out for the way of Cain. Stay away from that path. And I want you to, all of us need to remember that the way of Cain here, we chased it there in Genesis 4. There was several steps taken that all began with not approaching God the way that God said he was to be approached. It all began that way, and it was just downhill from there when he didn't do it God's way. So go to 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 11. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that we heard, that ye heard from the beginning, that we should... Isn't that the word, what the world needs right now? We need a little love in this world, right? But we need the right kind of love. We need love for God first, because love for God will produce the right type of love for man. Because what's considered by many love for man is not love for man today. You've got to get the love of God right first. All right, look at verse 13, and you'll see, or 12 rather. You'll see Cain show up here. 3:12, it says, not as Cain. Notice he's contrasted with verse 11. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, who would that be? Who would the wicked one be? That'd be the devil. Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were what? Evil, and his brother's righteous. You get the motive there behind the murder of Abel by Cain. His brother was accepted. He was not. And he didn't like that. And that's why he murdered his brother there. Now, why would anyone associate themselves with Cain, selfishness, hatred, murder, and heresy? Why would anybody associate themselves with that? That is the way of Cain. And I will tell you, I think of a lot of different things in our world right now, but I can think of one particular institution. There's selfishness. There's hatred, there's murder, and heresy. Anybody want to take a guess at this one? Anybody out there want to take a guess where you can find those things? Any institution out there you can think of? Anybody? You can speak up, say it. Anybody? Well, yeah. What? Government. The government. I think that fits in many ways. Yeah. Anybody else? Got another one? You can say it. It's okay if you're wrong. Might be more than I'm thinking anyway. Anybody? I think I heard it in the back there. What'd you say, brother? Democratic Party, okay, yeah, you can go there too. Yeah, I think you can fit that. Now, you ready for this one? How about? I'll say it again. You've got a bloodless sacrifice. You've got selfishness. You've got hate. You've got murder and heresy. You ready for this? How about the Roman Catholic Church? It all begins with a bloodless sacrifice. What do they offer every day that they go to the church? The Mass. Any blood offered there? The bread is being broken and the drink is being taken, and they say it's magically turned into the body and blood of Christ, which is heresy. I think that's very interesting there. All originates there with Cain. So his own works evil, his brother's righteous. Now let's go back one more place here in the Bible here. Let's go, stay there in 1 John first. I just want to read one more verse. Look at verse 13. 1 John 3:13. Marvel not. This is right after he mentions Cain. Marvel not, my brother, if the world what? Now, you mentioned a couple of things there. I mentioned one thing. Y'all mentioned a couple more there that hate Christians in many ways, right? Let's just lump them all together. Our world, without Jesus Christ, hates Christians, don't they? You shouldn't be surprised as a result of that verse right there. Now, let me show you another one on that same page here. Go to, not same page, but same idea. John 17. We'll close here. John chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Watch out for the way of Cain. Watch out for the way of Cain. John 17. Look down there at verse 14. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. This is the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer, because it's the Lord talking and he's praying. Look at 14. 17, 14. He says, I have given them thy word. And the world what? Hath hated them. You know, if you stand on God's word, the world's going to hate you. Stand on God's word, the world's going to hate you. You better believe it. Then it says, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from what? I tell you what, I am glad that the Lord prayed that for you and me in 2020. Did you know that he did that? You keep finding out here, you keep reading here, you'll find out that he was praying for future believers in this chapter here. The Lord prayed that we would be kept from evil, even though we're living in the midst of evil. That's something we ought to pray for one another as well. Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So again, if the world thinks you're a little peculiar, good. If the world thinks you're peculiar because of your stand for Jesus Christ, that's the way it is. That means you're doing something right. So keep it up. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's the truth? It tells you. Thy word is truth. I love that there. Go on to verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. And how are you sanctified? Folks, it's God's word that's going to separate you, sanctify you from the world. I tell you, you folks who've worked in Christian organizations, even in the midst of a Christian organization, you oftentimes have to set yourself apart from people that are saved, even in that organization, and you will be set apart. You don't have to try to do it. You will be set apart when you align yourself more and more with the Word of God. So, I know we're talking about Cain here, and it's some heavy stuff and some difficult stuff, but one thing that we'll all take out of this message, rather than going down that path, stick with God's Word. It's going to separate you further and further away from the way of Cain and from this wicked world. And we all need that. Let's keep going here. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know who he's praying for in verse 20? People in 2020. That's me and you. Those who shall believe on me through their word. We hadn't even been born when he said that. And he was praying for me and you. Save people in the future from where he says that all the way to today and beyond. So I'll just end with this, folks. Let's watch out for the way of Cain. You're going to be able to point out the way of Cain. Again, the more you align yourself with the word of God, it'll set you apart from that. The way of Cain is a selfish way. It's a murderous way. It is a wicked way. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We all need to hear this. I need to hear it if you don't. We're in the midst of a world living after this way, the way of Cain. But you don't have to follow along. And you shouldn't be following along. Let the Word of God sanctify you so you are far, far from that path. Now, I don't know how you are, but I need warnings often. I need them often because I have a tendency, I say me, it's everybody, if you're honest, this flesh loves, absolutely loves, it's attracted to this world. And I got to constantly be warned and I got to constantly crucify this flesh so that it has no attraction to the world. And instead, the Holy Spirit of God pulls me closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say all these things today so that you understand. Don't be surprised by the foolishness and wickedness in the world you're living in. People all over the place, it's not just who I mentioned and not just who you mentioned. People all over the place are going down this path, the way of Cain. They don't even know it. But you can spot it if you know the Word of God. Now, as we get closer here to November 3rd, I think you'll be able to see it increase. More and more, this world we live in, going down this path, the way of Cain. I mean, haven't you seen it? Selfishness, murder, hate, self-pity. It's all over the place today. And it all started back over there in Genesis 4 with this fellow Cain. Be aware of it, stay away from it, and draw closer to the Lord as you see the world get more wicked. You know what that means? You know what that means? The day is coming sooner that the Lord shows up in the clouds. Amen? Hey, the church, you know, we've been through Revelation, you've been in the studies, the last church is an apostate church. That doesn't have to be our church, and I don't think it is. But the general characteristics of the churches in the last days will be apostasy. Let's make sure we don't fall down that path. Let's make sure we stay on the path of God's Word. And let's make sure we're aware of this way of Cain So we can warn people to stay away from that and just draw nigh to God. All right, let's pray together here in closing this evening. Lord, sure, thank you for your word, and we sure need it. Thank you for showing us some things that we can identify all around us with the way of Cain. And I just pray that we would all be faithful here as we draw nigh to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. We can't wait for that day to get out of this place. And I just pray that all of us would keep that in mind and not get attracted to this world, but just be looking for you. And in that meantime, it may be a short time, maybe a long time before you return, I pray that you would find us faithful here on this earth, doing right, or walking after the Holy Spirit and sticking by the truth. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.